Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Our financial dealings are never private in the eyes of God. He knows our needs and our resources. He knows what we give and what we withhold. He's watching as the offering plate goes by, even when the economy is tanking. And He knows that too. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on investing for eternity. Turn with us to Mark chapter 12 as Erwin Lutzer comes to talk about when giving less is more.
Jesus said, "A sparrow doesn't fall to the ground, but that sparrow is watched by my heavenly Father and is seen falling to the ground." And then Jesus said, "Are you of not much more value than they?" And the answer is, of course, there's no way to compare it. Of course, if he watches the sparrow fall, of course he knows your needs, dear widow, dear single person, dear couple, and you don't know where to go because you received a pink slip this past week. Does not your heavenly Father know? And the answer is yes. Of course he knows. Like Ethel Waters used to sing at the Billy Graham Crusades way back in the 50s and perhaps the 60s, "His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." Of course he's watching. And he saw this morning as the offering baskets were passed at the Moody Church and all the other churches in the world, he watched. He saw you let it go by. He saw what you put in, what you wished you would have put in, what you could have put in but didn't. I mean, he sees all that. Every once in a while, you meet a Christian who says something like this: "Whatever I give is my business and nobody else's business." Well, I'm here to inform you that Jesus also makes it his business. He sits over against the treasury and watches what we put in and what we keep to ourselves. Wow, that's where Jesus sat. Well, let's take another portrait. We see Jesus sitting over against the treasury, watching this happen. But the second portrait is Jesus, what he saw. And for this again, we turn to the scriptures. Verse 41. "Many people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny." That's what he saw. Now let's talk about these rich people. First of all, let us be grateful that they put in much. Let us be grateful that they put in much. Actually, I have to tell you that the temple could not have operated on two mites. It had to operate on larger gifts, so we're glad that they gave them. And we should not denigrate people who give large gifts. As I said last time, we should thank God for wealthy people who can give us gifts that can enhance ministries and help us with world evangelization. So many of the people, they put in large sums. But Jesus not only saw what they put in, but he saw also how they earned the money. This is critical. Because if you take your Bible and have it open, as it should be, you'll notice in verse 38, just have your eyes go up to the preceding paragraph. Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Jesus hated pretense in worship. He just hated it. Loved the people, maybe, but he hated the way in which they pretended to be more spiritual than they were, walking around with large robes and expecting to be honored. Jesus is constantly looking at the heart, and he hates pride. In fact, the Bible says God is at war with the proud. I don't want to be fighting God. But what does it mean, devour widows' houses? We're not exactly sure. There are different views, but one thing is sure, it was a form of extortion. Maybe when the widow sold her house, they got a cut on it, or they got some money on it, or they gave her advice, or they made stipulations for widows that were that were unfair. In one way or another, they exploited widows, and that in the Bible is a huge sin. Huge. Because God in the Old Testament and the New tells us to take care of widows, and if we don't, we will give an account. So anyway, Jesus sees these rich people. He knows where they got their money from, perhaps by exploiting the poor. And they are throwing in large sums, and we commend them for that. We don't know whether or not they were standing there as zingers, trying to draw attention to themselves, but we can fill in the blanks and think probably they did. But now the eyes of Jesus have a different focus, and that is on this widow. And when I mention the word widow, I want to include in it all the single mothers who are listening. My heart goes out to you. I think, for example, of the fact that you cannot have an adult conversation when you're at home with children. Every single decision is yours. Everything is up to you. I try to imagine it. I'm not sure that I can. And so my heart goes out to you today, and we include you in the story of this nameless widow that is mentioned here in the Bible. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins. It's not just that she was poor, she was dirt poor. And some of you understand that expression, maybe even by experience. Dirt poor. 2 copper coins. When you read the commentaries as they try to figure out how much this was, you get differences of opinion. Because it says that 2 of them made a farthing, and then it took a whole bunch of farthings to make a denarius, and on it goes. But the best that I can find out is that it would be, generously speaking, one half of our penny. So you could say that she gave a penny because she gave 2 coins. And usually it is translated mites. By the way, you know, we always talk about the widow's mite. Give her credit, okay? She gave 2 of them, all right? Let's get that straight. So she gave about a penny. By the way, I read years ago that the copper in a penny is actually worth less than the penny. I don't know. I shouldn't have said that because I don't know where to go with that. I'm just simply saying that, you know, a penny for your thoughts. She gives a penny. So is that going to help with the salaries in the temple? With the penny, are they going to be able to reconstruct and rebuild and refurbish the building when it needs it? No, you don't do anything like that. And she gives both of them all she had. I don't know how you react to this story, but I've never preached on this before, and I've always had something within me that made me uncomfortable with the story. Because if she had come to me and said, Pastor Lutzer, I have 2 mites, and I'd like to give them to the church. I'd like to help your CLC over there. I'd have said, dear lady, you need those more than we do. We'll find other ways to fund our building campaign or other ways to send missionaries, but you need it. I would have counseled her out of doing this. That's just being very, very honest. As a matter of fact, there's a true story that really illustrates what I mean. In a small church where they had a giving challenge and the people came forward to give their gifts, the people noticed that there was a young woman, shabbily dressed, as she almost was every Sunday, with a little boy standing beside her. And she came forward. And pushing back tears, she took the ring from her finger and put it into the offering plate. A deacon saw it. Later on, when the money was counted, he went to her and said, hey, you shouldn't have done this. Take this back. You need this. We'll get along without it. She said, you have no right to give it back to me because I didn't give it to you. I gave it to the Lord. All that I can tell you about this story is that love does foolish things. Love sometimes sacrifices. Love takes risks. It's amazing what people do when they love. I mean, I'm amazed as a parent I never had a son, but I do have three sons-in-law. But I'm amazed as a parent that the Father God would be willing to send Jesus to die on the cross and go through all kinds of injustices and a horrendous death on the cross when he didn't need to. It was not for him. It was for us. And I look at that and I say, you know, love does sometimes do outrageous, outrageous things. And I think for this widow, giving two mites was outrageous, but never underestimate what love might do. So that's what Jesus saw. Well, there's a third picture I want us to take of Jesus, where he sat, what he saw, and also now what he said. Look at the text. And he called his disciples, verse 43, to him and said to them. Now, this is very interesting because what Jesus is saying is, what I saw is so important, I want to share with my disciples because there's a lesson here. And you know how I interpret that? I interpret it that Jesus is saying that there's a lesson here also for us and for the church. For as long as the church endures, there is a lesson to be learned from this nameless widow. Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Wow, she gave more. It's interesting to contemplate. How did she give more? By the way, parenthesis, if her two mites were given compound interest, you know that compound interest is amazing. Once you get to the higher sums, it just is. It's just something mathematically that you have to understand, but it explodes. Someone figured it out, and I don't know that it's true, but over 2,000 years, those two mites with compound interest might be worth something like 24 with 19 zeros at the end. So who knows how much she gave as far as the heavenly calculator was concerned. And of course today God also has his heavenly calculator, so to speak. He's the one who watches how much we give. And I want to thank the many of you who support this ministry. I know that you have opportunities to also support other ministries. I'm holding in my hand a letter from a prisoner who says that I listen to Running to Win via radio. He says it is a lifeline. You have a part in this. And what excites me is that we are going through a period of time when some of our contributors have said that they are willing to double whatever gift you give, up to $90,000, to the ministry of Running to Win. So your gift right now will double. I hope that you consider partnering with us.
Erwin Lutzer with more of When Giving Less is More, his second message in a series on investing for eternity. Next time on Running to Win, more about our attitudes as givers, whether small donors or big ones. Your gift to Running to Win is appreciated and can be doubled during this month. Help us take advantage of the matching gift campaign by calling 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.